Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are on LATalkRadio.com. The call-in number, 323-203-0815, is how you get to talk to Dr. Pat Allen live. So, Dr. Allen, you're live on the air. Are you ready to...
I'm ready to serve.
Okay, terrific. Well, I know that Ronan had some calls lined up for us, and he's going to get it.
Hello?
Hi, caller. You're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Hello.
How are you?
I've got a poem I want to read on the air. I had one of my two vaccinations.
Good. All right. Okay, that's great. But I want to share a poem that I read. It's about you and about what's going on. Can I read it? It's a short one.
Yes. Yes, if it isn't too
okay,
long.
Okay, here. It's a good, it's not very long. I just wrote a short one. Okay. I put my heart is broken, sunken down. No more her voice, not even a sound. My tears are unrelentless. I love her, nevertheless. 43 years I've called almost weekly, many times in desperation, on so many occasions. She saved my life countless times. She's made my life shine. She's made me shine. Pat's 86 and needs a break. That's no mistake. No more calls or appointments. I agree with her 100%. I'm on my own now, but now I know how. She's been my messenger from God above, who I'll never forget and truly love. Not that long. Hello?
That's it. I just wrote a short one.
That's
wonderful. Is there anything else I can do for you after you've done
Yeah, I just, you know, I just want to tell everybody how wonderful you are because, you know, I'm a disabled person. I was a top tennis player. I'm a top ping pong player. I draw, I sing, I dance, and she encouraged me on all of this stuff. And now I'm in Zoom groups. And so I have a question. I went on a dating site, you know, but I'm getting all these weird people and I don't really want to do it. I'm thinking of the gentleman on your show was mentioning, speed dating, but I'm in groups and there's one guy I kind of interested in, but he doesn't really make a move on me. So I don't know. I'm wondering whether to go on dating sites or just wait for the pandemic.
Do you want to act like a man and pursue him?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that one bit. I'm never going to do that.
All right, then guess what? You're going to have to wait for a man who's smart enough to pick you.
But I'm not out anywhere. I mean, it's hard. I don't meet anybody besides on my Zoom groups. I have 4 Zoom groups a week, but I only one I'm interested in. So, I mean,
You never go to the grocery store? You never go to the pharmacy?
No, because of the pandemic, my brother tells me not to.
Oh, so you're not going? How do you get your food?
I order it online.
Okay, you order it online.
And right now, my brother's buying it for me. He's buying it for me. So he's saying not to go outside because he doesn't want me to get the COVID.
That's exactly right. So why don't you do what your protective relatives tell you to do?
Okay, that's what I'm doing, but I get, you know, my best friend who I talk to every day for almost a year, basically, now he got kind of sick, and then I decided to call him. He called me, but then I called him once in a while, but now I called him a couple of times, he's just not answering, and I know he just doesn't want to answer. I know he's not busy, because he's in a nursing facility, so I know he's not busy, so I'm assuming he doesn't want to talk to me, so I'm not calling anymore.
But now I really have nobody,
huh?
No, there's things. Have you gone to the Zoom group called fun.singles?
Oh, that sounds, but I can't, well, I can't go, fun, that sounds good, fun.singles, there.
All right, then go check them out, because that's what I heard this week.
Fun on singles. You know, I'm interested in
darling, I gave you an answer.
Okay, you gave me an answer. It's so good to hear your voice. I was worried about you. I was so worried.
Very good.
Okay, Fun Dot Singles. You know of any other ones, or that's the only one you know of?
Nope, that's the one I know now.
That's a Zoom group, right?
Yes.
Okay, I joined another website, but they got these kind of
darling,
weird people on it. I'll do this
darling.
One. Okay, gotcha. Do it. Nice to hear your voice.
Good. Nice to hear yours.
Okay, I'm so glad you're okay. I'm just worried.
Yeah, I'm okay. Thank you.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay, perfect. I'll listen to your show every week.
All right.
All right. There we go. So we got some more calls coming. Ronan at our switch is awesome, and he's getting those calls together for us. Everybody, remember, if we call you back, make sure you answer. We don't want your voicemail. We want to talk to you. And if you've gotten hi, call. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
How are you?
What can I do for you?
So I have possibly a couple questions. A gentleman has been dating me. However, our relationship started as a friendship. We both kind of got reacquainted. We met 8 years ago. We got reacquainted from our exes possibly seeing each other behind our backs. And so we both kind of developed a friendship from that, kind of helping each other out from him being ghosted.
Who made the first romantic move, you or him?
He did. For a month and a half, we were nothing but friends, helping each other. He tried to kiss me 5 times. I didn't even let him kiss me until like a month and a half into seeing each other.
I understand that. But you were romantic. He was pursuing and you were responding slowly.
Correct.
But carefully.
Correct. And so then it got to the point where I actually ended up having intercourse with him. And we've had intercourse a handful of times.
Wait a minute. Asked for the intercourse?
No, absolutely not.
He did.
Correct.
And did you say, I don't do intercourse unless I'm in a commitment relationship?
I did say that, but I didn't follow through with that.
Well, then, were you drinking at the time?
Yes.
And that causes you to become a man.
Correct.
So
I know.
But I say the same thing because I'm a scientific nerd. Everything I teach, I learn from science. I belong to Science Magazine, and it's 175 years old. And I didn't get it for the whole 175, but I read up on every new research or everything from sexuality to animals, whatever.
Yes, I appreciate that. I've been listening to you for years, and I know I made a mistake by having intercourse with him. And here's what
one
we're
time,
at.
Or did you start? One time, or did you start a romance?
It probably happened like 5 times.
Then you started a romance, which means it wasn't just one time. You people had one slip of your single body, and then you started making love to each other.
Correct.
Are you committed?
No.
So what you are is lovers.
Correct. And here's the
now,
problem.
I always say this. I'm not a moralist. I'm a therapist. So is there pleasure enough in being lovers for you to continue?
No, I'm in pain over it.
All right. And so what are you going to do about it that you haven't learned from me already?
I'm going to stop having intercourse with him, but let me ask you this question or let you know what he's doing so you can tell me where he's coming from. He took me away to a beautiful weekend on a plantation with rose petals in the shape of a heart on the bed, rose petals on the floor, champagne in the room. The next day, there was chocolate-covered strawberries on the bed. But then 2 days later, after the weekend, He said he needed some space. He was even thinking about possibly seeing other women. He's done this to me like 3 or 4 times. Every time we get closer, he backs up and
kind of disappears. Have you asked him if he's marriage bound or are you not marriage bound?
And he said he's not sure.
That means no. Any other answer than yes is no.
Okay. Well, then why?
You're sexually monogamous. Are you sexually monogamous?
Am I sexually monogamous?
Both of you. Have you an open relationship or a closed relationship?
So we are not technically committed, but yes, neither one of us has had intercourse with anyone else or even kissed anyone else.
No, that's why you're lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Committed is sexually and socially monogamous. Continuous, you know you're going to see each other weekly, blah, blah. And long-term goals are the same, like no marriage or marriage. So I don't hear a committed relationship negotiation. I hear
you are correct.
Got that. What?
You are correct. I said you are correct.
Well,
and
then.
So the reason I'm calling is I'm wondering, what is that behavior? Him getting close, doing nice things for me, and then pulling away. What is that kind of behavior? What is that?
That's called taking advantage of a woman that's not taking care of herself.
Okay.
So when are you going to set your virtuous boundaries? When?
Now.
You
now,
know
actually,
I'm not. If you're happy being lovers, be lovers.
No, I'm not happy with that. And I made that decision on Monday.
So do you want to be boyfriend, girlfriend?
I don't think that's in the cards for us right now.
Well, then I'm thinking that his penis should not be in your body, oral, anal, or vaginal.
I agree. So would it be okay to continue to spend time with him without intercourse and to continue to get to know each other?
That happens to be courtship.
Okay.
I have nothing against any form of courtship that you both agree to.
Okay. So you don't think that, or should I put him in crisis mode?
No, dear, because you put him in the crisis mode. In other words, you gave him a Rolls Royce. You.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, thank you. But that's all he said.
Well, he's also said, he has told me he loves me. He's also said, I'm the best woman he's ever dated. I'm the best woman he's ever met. I'm like an angel. Those are all quoted from him. So my question is, do I continue to see him and not have intercourse with him to continue to build the friendship?
You can always do that. He may not put up with that, but he's been to heaven and it's hard to go to purgatory. You know, he's already made it.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely. If you say, are you going to set him an appointment? I want to talk to you about us. And it's sensitive.
Yeah.
And when would it be convenient? Hopefully today. And then you say, I have so enjoyed our friendship. And I have truthfully, physically enjoyed our being lovers, but I'm not comfortable with the lack of commitment. So I'm willing to be your non-intercourse friend, but I'm not willing to be your lover. So what do you think? And he'll tell you yes, no, maybe, whatever.
Okay. And so
it's called setting your boundaries.
Okay. And so if he calls me tomorrow to ask me to go away for another weekend, because that's kind of in the plans right now, would I say that then on the phone or would I say that when I show up?
You say it before you get on the plane because I don't want him thinking that he's going to get you totally and not get you, and he's already experienced you as a free lover. Free lover.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So that's all.
But
I don't want you to lead him on to believing that he's going to get what he got the last time.
Okay. Well, we do spend time together without him getting that. We've been seeing each other for 5 months, and it only has happened a handful of times.
Okay, but it's happening.
I agree. No, I understand that. I'm just saying that we have spent more time together where it hasn't happened versus where it has happened. And so
I appreciate that, but it's interesting that people, once they start being sexual, have difficulty not being sexual with the same person.
Correct. Okay.
So I want you to make an appointment. I want you to thank him for the time you've had with him that you both agreed to being lovers, maybe under the influence. When men use mind-altering chemicals, they come more feeling-centered. When women use mind-altering chemicals, they become more animal-centered, predatory. I want him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand that from listening to you for years. And so what is that, which obviously I know, since I listened to you, I know I messed up. But what is that about him saying he loves me, doing these nice things for me, and then pulling away?
He's a natural man. God created him to be polygamous. He's supposed to be inbreeding with women and making babies for this planet to replace the ones that are dying in this pandemic explosion.
Even though he doesn't want children?
Honey, there are so many men that were married to women that wanted children and didn't notify the gentleman that they were breeding at that time. That sex is, people misuse sexuality worse than almost anything. They think smoking is bad. More people die of misused sex, whether it's murder or suicide or illness or criminality. Sex and gambling are the two biggest dopamine upper producers. So many people, especially men who are drinking or using drugs, do things they wouldn't do sober, you see, but they do it when they drink.
Okay. So another question is, if I may.
Well, we'll see.
I'm an interior designer, and another thing that he wants me to do is design his house that he is about to build. Do I do
now,
that?
Now he wants a free. Now he wants a free designer. He's got a free lover.
No. He's gonna pay me. He's gonna pay me.
Okay. I don't mind who you work for.
Right. Okay. So you don't think that that's an issue?
No. Why would it be an issue?
So until it gets uncomfortable or painful for me to spend time with him without us being lovers, then it's okay for me to spend time with him, correct?
As long as you don't negate yourself by doing unpleasant experiences like dating a man you want that doesn't want you, everything has a price tag. Here, I'm going to say something. The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want that I don't have? Or what do I have that I don't want? Followed by a plan and a willingness to do what it takes to get what you want or get rid of what you want. That's a person who's negotiating within for the best result for that person.
Okay.
So, do you think by him getting close and then pulling back, is that passive aggressive at all, or is that possibly he's thinking about it, going through the alphabet, like you say, that men happen to do?
He never said he wanted it. He just said he wanted to think about it. I don't hear that he's made any decision about a commitment to you. I don't hear it.
He actually has said that twice, that he's come super close asking me to be in a committed relationship.
Well, then why didn't you say yes and make an agreement?
Well, no, he said he came super close, but then retracted because he's doing a men's program thing.
Super, super close is no.
Okay. Because he's saying that he's in a men's program that is requiring him to be single, and he wants to finish that out. So
I've got news for you. He's even told you the reason that he's not being sexual. He's practicing boundaries that are not created by you.
Okay. So I should just respect him and go with the flow and keep my legs closed and enjoy him, let him enjoy me and see where it goes?
Yes, by how you feel. Remember, women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. Men get what they want by having the courage to negotiate it. There's only three ways to communicate. Intimidate with fear, seduce with guilt and shame, or negotiate with love. I teach negotiating with love.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Right. I'm aware of that. Yes, I'm aware of that.
Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you, Dr. Pat Allen. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
I appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We have some more calls in our lineup. So Ron's going to get us another caller right now. I want to remind everybody that the One Institute brings us to be with you each and every Thursday night, and that LA Talk Radio broadcasts us on other nights, but not live. You can listen to our show anytime by going to LA Talk Radio's website and looking up Dr. Pat Allen. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Pat Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Hi, Dr. Allen. I'm so happy to be speaking with you.
Hi. Very good. And I'm happy you called. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a show.
So a man was dating me for 3 months. We did not have
sex. Very good. And I want to say something. I have no problem with women wanting to be respected as a leader in a relationship. And I have no problem with a man wanting to be a feminine-based male who doesn't want to be the leader. As long as the two people agree to whatever they design, I'm for it.
Okay.
Got it?
I think I'm trying to let him be the leader, but 3 weeks ago...
Does he want to be? Wait, does he want to be? Does he ever call you and ask you out?
He always calls me.
Okay, so he is a respected leader in your world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Although it isn't bad if he's feminine.
Well, that's true.
I don't want to be labeled as a sexist. Everybody with a penis is a leader, and everybody with a vagina is a follower. That's not where I'm at. I want you to know that in every relationship, there are four systems. There's a man with a male body, but a female soul, the anima, which is extremely sensitive. And there are females with female bodies, but with souls, the animas, that are so strong, they're willing to have a 9-pound, 7-ounce baby girl first out of the chute. That was me. See, no man, especially an engineer, would ever say, you 5'2", skinny little lady, I can't see you birthing a 9-pound, 7-ounce baby anything. That's not scientifically sound.
Right.
We do it over and over and over and over again.
So 3 weeks ago, we discussed being monogamous, which he happily agreed to. And then
how did he get there? Did he ask for sex or making love? And you told him the boundaries?
That's correct.
Good. Yep. How did you feel when he said, yes, I will honor your boundaries? A man needs to meet a woman, hopefully his mother or somebody, that teaches him that he's born a man, a natural man. He's supposed to fight and make love. I'm not going to use the F word. He says, I want this woman to be my wife, and I want to have children that will have a family for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. Virtue is what good gentlemen marry, not vaginas. They use vaginas, but they don't marry them.
And that's where I'm not sure if he was just trying to use it, because a few days after we had that discussion, he sent me a text questioning my sex drive and insisting that I wasn't interested in him. And I found out later he had been drinking when he sent me these texts. So a couple of days after that, we saw each other and discussed the exchange in person. And at the end of that conversation, he still wanted to be in a monogamous relationship. But
that's
then
smart.
He goes, Yeah.
That's smart.
But then he disappeared.
He ghosted you.
Ghosted me, and I didn't realize I was being ghosted because this was my first time being ghosted. So I sent him a narrative text.
It's when you expect him to call and he doesn't. In other words, you've been dating him and you've seen each other Saturday night, and then boom, there's a Saturday that he didn't call and say we're canceled or we're not going to meet or we are going to meet. He just gone.
Yeah. So I sent him a generic text, which I probably shouldn't have done. I don't know. And he was receptive to it. But then he turned around and said, oh, I haven't heard from you in a week and a half.
What did your text say that triggered that response? Like, you didn't do it right. You didn't call me, Mama.
Right.
Is this man a feminine version of a man?
Oh, he is.
Because he's folk, artists, musicians are all men create off their feminine anima. Women create, including babies, with the power of their animus. Carl Jung's wife wrote anima, animus. When we hear people talk about soulmates, that is the anima inside of the man's soul and body, and the animus. Soulmates are the hidden male and female. Remember, women are female bodies, but they're male souls. Mm-hmm. And men are male bodies, but female souls. There's four energy systems talking from those four places. Two men and two women.
Okay.
In one relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So after that, then I did no contact. And 4 days into that, he sent me a text saying he couldn't believe I wanted to be exclusive, even though he wasn't dating anyone else or interested in anyone else. He thinks that's wonderful, but he was taken aback, and he thinks I'm wonderful, so he's still thinking about that conversation.
He hasn't agreed to monogamy, continuity, and longevity.
That's correct.
All right. He simply wants you as a lover.
Gotcha.
Or you can call it friends with perks.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Or you can call it a business, a trick.
I don't want that either.
You see?
Okay. Yep. So would you let it go.
So kind? What?
I should just let it go and move on then.
Well, if he comes around and he asks for intercourse, oral, anal, or vaginal, you might say, thank you for inviting me to make love, which may not be the truth. It may be just having sex. Having sex is an animal event. Making love is a human event, body, mind, and spirit. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
See? So okay. Do you want to, if he calls you, do you want to have sex with him as a lover, or do you want him to propose a monogamous, continuous, long-term relationship?
I prefer the latter.
Okay, then you'll say, thank you for the offer to make love to me, which may not be true. It may be just sex.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a commitment with myself not to have intercourse, God's moment. Do you realize that when we have intercourse, we are potentially creating a human being?
Yes.
You see? And that is a big responsibility. The newest phrase out there in the teenage world is, I'm going to see my baby's mama. Have you ever heard baby's mama?
Oh, I have, yeah.
Well, it's a phrase that men and women, you know, are accustomed to today. It means there's no commitment to marriage, and I acknowledge that it's my baby, with or without a test, because I know her and she and I were lovers. So my baby's mama is calling me.
Yeah, I don't want to be anyone's baby mama.
All right. Well, then I'm the teacher of the scientific element of sexual courtship and marriage. So that's the question level I answer.
Okay. No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Did you get your answer?
I did. It's time for me to move on.
Okay. You don't want to negotiate with him?
Well, perhaps. We'll see if I hear from him.
Okay. If he reaches out to you, you might want to consider telling him the boundaries for your sexuality.
I will, for sure.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, caller.
Bye.
Okay, we're going to wait for another call. And I want to remind everybody, if you are interested in signing up for our newsletter, the place to go is www.drpatallen.com. That's drpatallen.com. And then sign up for the newsletter. We will send you an email back, which you must respond to opt in. That way we know you are opted in and we won't be accused of being spammers. I want to remind everybody, we don't sell our email list. We never do that.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Pat. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I am just fine. I had my first vaccination, and I'm going to get my second one in a week or so. I just am advertising that I'm pledged to getting the vaccinations, and I hope everybody else does too.
Well, good for you. Thank you for doing that. Yeah, same here. I'm in the health field, and I'm in the dental field.
Good.
So, yeah, we're happy that you're doing that. Yeah.
What can I do for you now?
I'm the caller that called last week that I told you that I was going to call with a follow up, and I had the fiance.
Oh yes. What did you do? Yeah, and what was the result?
Yeah, okay. We're both 50, married twice before. I want to make sure I get it right the next time, obviously. He thought it was okay to have these exes. Some were from 30 years ago. Some are from 3 years ago, whatever. that he thinks it's okay to have communication
friends
occasionally.
That you've had lovers with.
Right. And you said, when you have the talk, mention that, you know, how about we invite this person, or if they're married, the couple over? And you were right. One of them is single. He confessed and said, you said, I bet you, you know, one's single, and she sure is. She's single. One of them that he said that he communicates with, she is single, and she's my age, 50. And she's single, and she messages him occasionally for guy bashing and guy advice and whatever. So anyway, I said, how about can I meet this person, and then I would feel less threatened by her? And I don't know. And, he goes, that would be weird. He said, no, that would be weird. And I said, well, I don't know. He just looked at me funny. And I said, it causes me pain. You know, I use that phrase that we talked about. And
yes.
He said, well, Kim, if this is who I am, and I'm not their friends, and I left these relationships on a friend note, he said, I'm not going to change who I am. And if you don't like it, then maybe I'm not the guy for you.
You know what?
That's what he's
saying is, I'm a natural man, and nature has designed men and women to be polygamous. Polygamous. People
right.
say, well, penguins are monogamous. Penguins are monogamous for one season. And we are exactly the same. Pardon?
I guess you said something about it's intimate, you know, it's a message. He said it's not, because I said, are they calling? And he said, no, they're messaging me, or if occasionally it'll happen. And he goes, if I see.
I want you to know that as women become men, they too become polygamous. Men, about 50% of men will be unfaithful, you know, if given the chance. About 48 women compared to, we're less polygamous, but we still are natural animals, which is we have a tendency to be tempted to be polygamous. Now, I always recommend a book by David Buss, Dangerous Passions.
I didn't know the author of it. David Buss, you said? Yeah. Okay. I didn't know
David
the author.
David Buss' book says, the sign of loving is territorial jealousy. When people don't set boundaries, they're not in love, they're in lust, and that feels like love, but it isn't love, because that means that the babies born into that process will not have any idea how to create what is called a family.
Unless they get into
a commune. You know, one of the good things that the hippies brought in was the rightness of groups, communities, all melding in together. But that is a purely animal event, and it doesn't get taxes paid and governments built and churches and schools, because family is making love even when your body wants to just have lust.
So you're saying, I feel it's wrong if he's had any kind of intimate relationship with him. I feel personally that he shouldn't be communicating with at all, texting, messaging. That's just how I feel.
You know why?
Because
the women have a tendency to bond through oxytocin. Older men in their 50s bond, especially the young women that see them as money bags, and so they try to steal them from their wives and families, and very often do achieve their goal.
I said, I trust you. I don't trust them. And he said, well, that's not, you don't have to worry about that. You need to, you know, trust me. And they're just, it's a, you know, he said, this is who I am and you're not going to change me. And I said, are you ever sending a text or a message out to them? Or is it always one-sided? And he said, well, if I see something funny, like a funny meme, you know, like a joke, he said, I sent one about 6 months ago when we were together at the time to a girlfriend of that was 3 years ago. He said, I sent her something funny just because it reminded me of us. And I'm thinking, well, that's not right either. You know,
no, what that is, you know, it's interesting that men don't realize how bonded women get.
I know. She's probably thinking, because what the heck is he sending me?
That's exactly right, except that if she's not finished with him in a loving relationship, sending her that little signal will turn her body on.
Exactly.
And she will call him to have a friendly lunch.
Exactly.
You see?
I know, that's what I don't know what I'm going to do about this. I mean, I feel like it's almost a deal breaker, basically. You know,
because
I don't know if I'm going to.
But there are women that like open relationships.
That's pretty much what it is. And that's what I see it. It's almost like an open relationship. And then he has his phone locked. And then I used to know the password. And now it's like, no, you can't, you know. So then that makes me, you know, more insecure.
Yep. Transparency has to be with trustworthiness. So he's a natural man.
And
he follows the laws of his body, not his soul.
And he doesn't care what I think. That's not a good sign to me.
The truth of the matter is there are so many women willing to be lovers.
So you're saying that him cheating on me, it's pretty high. It's a high chance that he's going to cheat on me after marriage, probably.
Well, that's
kind of
what happens. So you have to take care. You have to decide exactly what level of committability you can live with or date.
I know he's been around. He told me the number that he had, and I was shocked before he was with me. He said he had been with, you know, 45 people total from the time he was whatever age to now. I was totally shocked.
And he has a right to do that, except
right, and that's fine.
You have
a
right
five.
To not do that. What?
And then I've had like less, five or less in my lifetime. So I'm just the opposite.
I understand. So you're not compatible. See, you've got to be. What?
I mean, we were saying if I marry him, the chances of him being committed in that
polygamous
area.
Honey, everybody has that chance. I'm not going to say that he's going to.
Right.
He may find out that he doesn't want a mob of women. He wants a family.
Well, he's raising his kids with his ex, you know. He started later in life. They're 13 and 15, and mine are pretty well 10 years older. Mine are 26.
Yes, yes.
20. So, but he's raising them with his now ex-wife, of course. So he does have the family, but he seems to think it's fine to occasionally have these reach outs, and I'm going to either deal with it or not, is how he
thinks. As long as they both have the same freedom. Men are far less tolerant of women with other men than women are with men that are going with other women. we tend to not rebel against the territoriality like men do, because men are the creators of babies. We raise them, but we can't raise what we don't have. And they make babies as their physical job on this planet. But we women have to have our rules and boundaries. Otherwise, we become herds of breeders.
I asked him how he would feel if an ex, say, husband or boyfriend.
Good. And what did he say?
He said he would. He goes, that's fine. But that I find that hard to believe, because I felt like in the beginning of this relationship 9 months ago that he didn't care for. I mean, I think something came up. I find that hard to believe. He said he doesn't care, but I don't think that's true.
You didn't experience it.
Generally,
men are more territorial than women.
Yeah, I'm not the type that would want to communicate with an ex boyfriend or even an ex husband for that matter, unless I had kids with them. I mean, unless there was a reason that I needed to communicate.
Right,
otherwise,
right.
I feel like I feel like it's betrayal. I don't know. I just feel like it's betrayal. I don't know. I feel like it's not being committed. I think it's given the guys even the wrong message that I'm interested or something. I don't know. I just don't think it's right.
Whether it's right or not is up to the people. But the truth of the matter is, soulmates don't necessarily have to have sex. They just have to be able to talk intimately. Friendship is the foundation intimacy of anything called a family.
No, I know you said that.
Friendship.
I remember you said calling was more intimate. Did you say calling?
Talking is more intimate than sex.
I mean, is that messaging or talking on the phone or either? I mean, I guess it doesn't matter, right?
Talking,
like voice, or
communicating, not as much with texting and stuff. Yeah. Texting is very informative based, whereas talking physically has more human energy intact. And so women like talking. And men often like texting more.
Right.
Texting is left lobe and talking is right lobe with feelings.
He claims that this is all done by Facebook Messenger and texting. So he's not supposedly
a phone. But let me put it this way. Marriage and family is put together by human beings speaking or sign languaging.
Right, or text messaging, whatever. Yeah, it's still a relationship.
Texting, I'm talking about a body, a face. 90% of all communication is body language, tones of voice, gestures, postures, facial expression. But only 10% is words. Or texting.
Oh, I see. So I guess it's less of a threat than only texting them, maybe? I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Well, texting, very few people have lunch over texting.
Right.
Do you see?
I know. I just don't know if I've blown it out of proportion.
So I don't know if you've done it. You just followed your feelings and you don't like the idea that he's with somebody socially that he was with sexually and maybe still in love with him and bonded to him. And every time they get together, she's re-stimulating her body into producing oxytocin in order to stay physically bonded to him. And his body.
I know. He doesn't understand. I mean, if a guy, I want to tell him, like, just by him sending the funny meme to the girlfriend that he had for 6 months just a few years ago, she's probably thinking he's still interested in me. Like, that's what I would say.
That's right.
Like,
that's
I don't know.
Well, at least it's given her an invitation to do so.
Exactly. Right. And it would me, too, if I was that girl or woman. I would feel the same way.
Good.
I don't know. I guess
So what are you going to do about your polyamorous man?
Good question. Part of me, I don't know if I'm okay with it going forward in a marriage. I don't know if that's going to be okay with me. And I think I might just say that.
You're dating him how long?
Well, fiance, actually. We're together 9 months, and I've read your book. We're at that next stage before a year, you know, that last.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
We're engaged.
So you're negotiating. I got it. Well, you understand. If he's 51% valuable, you may find it better than nothing.
I know.
Is he 51% valuable?
I'm still deciding that, I guess.
All right, then finish out the year at least.
Yeah,
then finish out the year.
That's okay. What I'm gonna do. That's what I plan on doing, actually. Because I don't want to throw in the towel, you know, quite
all
yet.
All right. Okay.
If at all.
Good.
So, all right. Yeah, I guess I'll keep you in posted if something develops that I need to advise.
All back.
In the next race.
Thank you,
month.
Caller.
Okay. Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Caller. Bye-bye. Okay.
Thanks. Thanks, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome.
It's interesting because I have been divorced for 8 years and my ex calls me at least once a day and texts me at least 5 times a day,
well,
every day of the week.
Exchange the cross for a question mark.
Right. We've got another caller. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I sure do. Good evening, Dr. Allen. Good evening, Kelly.
Good evening to you as well.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I have a question for Dr. Allen. A man has been dating me for quite some time, and he is definitely...
What's that look like? A month, 2 months, 6 months, a year?
On and off for 5 years, so let's just call it...
For 5 years?
Yes,
that's
it's
awesome.
A dating relationship.
So
well, it's a dating relationship.
You have a serial marriage-bound relationship. Periodically, you marry, mate, and then split.
That's right. That's right. So I do have a question for you, Dr.
What is it?
I think I made a little mistake. I shared some painful feelings without making an appointment. So I would say I used...
Oh. You know what he sees that as? Blaming him.
Well, I used half the tools. I didn't use the appointment part. So,
but you see, by not making the appointment, you dumped your feelings on him, and he felt criticized and tightened up on you.
Well,
remember,
let me
is he right or left-handed? I want to know.
Ambidextrous.
Is he right?
64 years old.
He's ambidextrous. Therefore,
64 years
he
old.
Has a large corpus callosum like we women, which means
that's
he
right.
mixes his thoughts and feelings. And so if you slip him a sad, painful message, he's going to take it as criticism because he's in his right lobe listening to you and not thinking as clearly. So he takes it as I'm uncomfortable and she did it. So please make an appointment for convenience with a man you're emotionally involved with, especially if he's ambidextrous, gay by biology, and left-handed. Left-handed, ambidextrous, and biologically gay, which means
and
his brain is still
64.
He's in andropause. Yeah, he's basically going feminine hormonally. His testosterone is going down, and the estrogen that's been in his body since he was conceived is now causing him to be more sensitive. Listen to what I'm saying if you're out there. Mm-hmm. Men over 50 need to be cherished when they're in pain and saying so.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, please, ladies, say to him, based on his talking about his pain, what can I do to help you and I feel better? But that's for 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
So
that was not a little mistake. That was a big mistake in what happened.
Well, nothing. I think I tried to, I did use half the toolkit, let's say, because so part of the problem is that he always says, oh, you know, I want you to call me. And I say, I'm not comfortable calling because we're not.
Wait a minute. Are you in a committed relationship?
No.
So
I,
this is what you're supposed to say. I would be more than willing to call you back and to reach out to you if we were in a boyfriend-girlfriend committed relationship.
That's exactly what I said to him. That's exactly what I said.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
And what did he respond?
So interestingly, so the mistake, as I said, was that I didn't make an appointment. I called and said, you know, I feel uncomfortable. I said, somehow the conversation I started with him saying, oh, I was waiting for you to call me. And I said, thank you. I appreciate your invitation to call. However, you and I are not in a committed relationship, and therefore I feel very uncomfortable calling. When you call me, I feel very happy and very cherished. I'm not comfortable calling unless we're in a committed relationship. So that's what I said.
That's perfectly beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you people out there, read the book by me called Getting to I Do. And if you want to read another one that includes men, read It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe. And that has the tools and everything in it. So please, feel free to pick my brain, even if it's in a book.
So I think my only question then for you is, since I failed to make the appointment, but I used the tools to express my discomfort.
Yes, you did beautifully. Yes.
Do
yes,
I need
yes.
to apologize for not making the appointment?
No, you don't. Because he won't understand what you're apologizing for, because he doesn't know androgynous semantic realignment, which is my doctoral work. And why I'm teaching you how to talk. I'm a certified transactional analyst. Eric Byrne left Sigmund Freud, started a poker party, and it grew into the International Transactional Analysis Association, of which I'm a certified member. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, for they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. Making money, being healthy, and loving people. Wherever love is, people are vulnerable. And that makes them damageable.
Exactly. Okay? Exactly.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. So then I feel much better. I won't apologize. I'll just let it sit.
You did a beautiful job when you did, and you made a bleepy mistake when you did that, too. So guess what? You're human.
Yes. Dr. Ellen, as always, I thank you for your service. I enjoy your show so much, and please stay safe.
I've had my vaccination, and I'm 86. And I haven't been ill in so long I can't remember it. So that's pretty good.
I agree. Well, thank you again.
Good. Call again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
And amen that you haven't been ill. That's fabulous, Dr. Allen. We've got some more calls coming up. As a matter of fact, our phone lines are jam-packed tonight, which is wonderful. We absolutely love
Keep
that.
We're going to get to as many. Let's serve our darling people.
Yes, we're going to get to as many of them as we can. But we have to get give credit to our Ronin at the switchboard. He gets them through to us as quickly as he can, but he gets backed up sometimes with a lot of people in the queue and he has to call them back. So I know that's what he's working on right now. Fantastic.
Good.
We have a caller on the line now. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I have two questions. I'm calling because my first question is about young girls that are supposed to be cherished by their father. My question is, I would just like to hear a little bit more about that.
Okay. Do you want me to describe why girls need to be cherished by their fathers?
Yes, and specifically, I would like to ask, why is that and what are they supposed to be protected from?
Okay. Anyway, Freud is really the master of psychoanalysis, psyche, which is that superego, ego, id that makes up a human being and their psyche. So for a girl, she has the job of attracting the protection, the cherishing, the gifts, the survival from a man, because he represents basically God on the planet. A man, on the other hand, has to pull away from his mother. He has to see her more like a daughter than a mother. And that happens, it starts to really happen around the age of 10. So a man, when he's under 10, is a child. But once he starts getting into that 10 to 13 year space, he needs his mother to know that she must negotiate with respect and not order him around like a puppet. So mother represents a mirror to her son's manhood and his feeling of self-esteem. Men are created physically, mentally, and emotionally to do good, to feel good. Men deserve respect for doing good. Women, on the other hand, have got to pull their father or father representative, and it can be an older brother, an uncle, grandpa. Girls must pull cherishing from a man to really trust men.
Okay.
And God help her, and she must do that by the age of 8. So there's some books I want to share about the girl issue, Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard, and another book, My Father, Myself by Appleton. Fathers and Daughters. That's another book about that. Okay? And for boys, there's books like Iron John by Robert Bly, which is about a fatherless son who doesn't have a role model to follow. So in Freud's terms of psychoanalysis, if a girl doesn't have a loving, mature gentleman in her life, usually a relative of some sort, then she may have to become her own man.
Right.
And what she does is She sets out her life to do good, to feel good, but the result is often it doesn't do well with her body, because women are built to feel good. Our hormones, our structure, we are built to feel good so that we can do good. When I was 35, I had a blood pressure of 250 over 148. At 86, I have a blood pressure of like 130 over 80 or some dumb thing. That's so normal, it's unbelievable. But the difference is I'm living like a girl instead of a boy.
I love it.
My father wanted a boy, so he trained me to be a boy. Now, I did get a PhD, and I do know how to work, but the work I do, I feel good at, and everything else I feel good at, and therefore, there's not much stress on my nervous system. Now, when a boy is not respected by a lady, normally his mother or a relative mother, if he doesn't get respect, he is going to be less of a man and more of a woman. So he will find a woman that was raised to be a boy so that they can form this contrary relationship, but it works for them until it doesn't. And usually what happens is something comes up in the family. They may have to take care of a grandpa or a grandma, or she may get unexpectedly pregnant and they have a new baby, or he loses his job. That's when being female for the man doesn't help him do good. And for the woman, having lost her right to feel good because her husband lost his job, ends up with her having stress problems. So there's all kinds of them. There's books like for boys, The War Against Boys by Summers is good. And then Dan Siegel has written a book called Parenting from the Inside Out. And that points towards the soul of a man is inside, and it is feminine. So a woman better know that the more she respects her son after 10, the more he will feel cherished, which then spills over on her or his sister as cherishing. Whereas if a girl is raised to be feminine by her father, she respects him and other men that are giving, protecting, and cherishing. So psychoanalysis is the system that Freud set up, and it runs through the world as I Ching, as Yin and Yang by Drs. Kim and Dr. Lee, the yin and yang way of life. There are four people in every relationship. Two men and two women. Now, who's the man and who's the woman and how they switch roles is what I teach in the way of communication skills.
Right.
What else do you want me to answer?
So for that young girl and father that say he doesn't end up protecting her, is he looking to be protected by making or allowing her to become man? What does it look like? You kind of talked about what it looked like for her, just for him, if we could kind of, what is he looking for when he is not protecting the daughter?
If the father is not protecting his daughter, she has to become thick-skinned, and that does not attract a masculine man later. So she will often marry men that are very feminine and continue the process of running her own world and his along with her. It's called Peter Pan and Tinkerbell.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. That is so funny. And just my last question would just kind of be, you've kind of touched on, when it's norepinephrine.
Yeah, that's norepinephrine has a wonderful skill. If you're going crazy, scared about the rain or the frozen or the whatever, it will get you off the ceiling of hysterica. You won't panic as much because norepinephrine is a neurotransmitter that suppresses overreactions. The herd of buffaloes going for the cliffs. The front line, whoa, stops and teaches the back line to slow down and stop too. So there's dopamine, which is an upper, and it's also called epinephrine. Used to be able to buy it in the pharmacies until they realized it blew your heart to bits because it overstimulated. So norepinephrine is a downer. Dopamine is an upper, and serotonin is a tranquilizer. You release it. This is where sleep deprivation is very dangerous because you don't let your body heal itself at night, especially hormonally and genetically. So all of this that I teach is based on science, and I choose to believe science is God's law.
Is there any, like, practical ways anyone with, not to say we're just claiming that we do have norepinephrine addiction, but is there practical ways for a person that may not find pain pleasurable?
Well,
but,
here's
you know,
the problem. If you, under the age of 5 and definitely under 3, if you've lived in a painful nest with a painful family, you become so acclimated to norepinephrine that dopamine scares you, so that when something excitingly happy comes, you react negatively. No. Because you're so afraid of the war and the duel and the taking from you this fun thing that you would rather not get it. And so what happens is norepinephrine shuts you down so that you don't get overstimulated. But dopamine is an upper, serotonin is a tranquilizer for sleep and rest and healing your nervous system, and norepinephrine is a downer, which can save your life if you're going hysterical.
So, I mean, I think it can be a very hard way to live with norepinephrine really kind of, constantly being something.
Wait,
in your body.
If you've had norepinephrine stimulated in your body when you were very small, you basically develop a taste for pain.
Right.
And that's Maria Marcos's book, A Taste for Pain.
And I think every time I ask about that, you always lead me to the book, which I have not yet gotten to. I just want to know, are there practical ways to get around a norepinephrine addiction?
Yes, there's a wonderful treatment program called EMDR. Eye Movement Rapid Desensitization, created by Francine Shapiro, who wrote the book, little book, Getting Past Your Past. Isn't that a wonderful title?
Yes, you mentioned it.
Now, this particular book is about you've got to have things to do, like take a bubble bath or take a walk, okay. a walk.
Yes.
Do things. Do you see? Have a cup of tea, caffeine-free tea.
I love it. I'm with it. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yes, these are great practical ones. I find comfort in all of them, and I just wanted to make sure I was handling and appropriately taking care of myself, you know, in that direction.
Are you doing it? Did you hear that I taught you that you were doing it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Good. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure speaking with you every time. I'm just so overjoyed.
Oh, great.
Thank you
for saying that.
Bye. Have a good night, ladies.
Bye.
She's sweet. Okay. We've got some more callers coming up. And, we have our video still. You can see our video on drpatallen.com. Our communication relationship video. I think you'll enjoy it. Right now it's free.
Oh, please do that.
Yeah. Hello? So it's, hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat. Yeah.
Hi.
My question is, a guy that's been dating me for a couple months, he texted me and he was texting, calling, FaceTiming daily, and then he just stopped about 10 days ago.
Yes.
And he let me know previously he didn't like that I wouldn't initiate any of the calls and texts, but I also...
Well, are you in a committed... Did you tell him you'd do it if you were in a committed relationship?
I did. I followed exactly what you said.
What I say is 2-1. Men who
right.
want to be respected need to receive on a 2-1 basis. They do 2 calls, you do 1.
Yes.
They take you to the movies, you buy the popcorn.
Right. That's what I let him know. And he argued with me about it. And then I'm guessing he might have just gave up and disappeared. But he did text me on Valentine's Day. So what I wonder
now with Valentine's Day within the 8 weeks, he's not gone till you haven't heard from him for 8 rumination days. Rumination
right,
is feel, think.
Right. It's only been 10 days, except for the text.
Therefore,
on Valentine's.
He is often either investigating another woman, which will show up because he will not call you back in 8 weeks. He will be busy, but you might hear from him 6 months to a year from now or later when he says, I made a mistake when I didn't keep calling you.
Yeah, I'm assuming I'm definitely fine to let him go. I'm willing and happy to do that, but I want to know if and when he reaches out. I know you say to be nice and polite and happy to hear from him.
Absolutely. He is duty dating, which means he doesn't have enough chemistry to build with you at that time. So he has gone off to explore other females. And because of that, you get ghosted. And then he comes back, he's just doing nature's game of courting and investigating. And I want you to leave him the way you found him, which is comfortable with you, not feeling criticized.
Okay. I don't like it, and I feel like I want to punish him, but I know not to do that.
Now, I'll tell you why this is. Because in the first years of life, you start to learn how to go after what you want. But wanting is masculine. And the peak of wanting is 3 years old. And so when you want him to do something your way, you're the man.
Yeah, I don't want to be the man.
And all right.
I don't want
to- and if he wants you to mother him all the time, then he wants to be the woman.
I don't want that either.
All right. So how about you date three times everybody that's decent, and then on the fourth date, listen to your body if it tells you that you like the smell of him, pheromones, you like being around him. Because chemistry, while we notice it within the first few minutes of meeting when we smell him, and smelling him may not smell like citrus or roses, it may simply be chemistry going from your body to his body and back and forth. And if that chemistry is a little bit like your dad's, but a little bit not like your dad's, he's eligible for romance. If the chemistry's too much like dad, he's verboten, taboo. If it's too little, he's alien. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he's wanted to meet in person, but I have not been willing to without a COVID test or without a vaccine.
Absolute.
So we have not met.
STDs for sex and COVID for the virus.
Right. So we haven't met in person, and he didn't like that either. He says I'm putting up too many barriers.
Okay. But, and that means that he wants a free girlfriend or a free wife or a free lay or a free meal. And that means he's
right.
Very feminine.
And which is a turnoff for me, and which is why I'm questioning if I should even be nice to him if he reaches out again.
Yes, you should, because I don't want you to train him to be a woman hater.
Okay.
I don't want other women to pay for your anger. He has a right to be broken. He has a right to go away. You see? When you respect a man, you respect him and his right to be who he is, unless you have to call the police. You have to call a doctor or you have to call a lawyer to sue him.
Okay. So I kind of want to say I don't want to receive texts from him, but I'll
no,
be
what
nice.
You will say to him is, I enjoyed what we did, but I'm not comfortable with, what is he doing that turns you off?
Just reaching out once. I haven't heard from him in 10 days.
I got it. So you
After
want to negotiate
text-
what? How often do you want him to call you? This is compatibility.
Before he ghosted me 10 days ago, he was texting and calling me several times a day, like 5 times a day and FaceTime
but
and everything.
That could be seen as the beginning of a glorious phase, but that usually doesn't stay. What's your minimum compatibility? How often a week do you want to see, and how often a week do you want to talk on the phone?
A phone call once a week would be the minimum.
Okay.
That's fair.
Oh, by the way, this negotiating is on chapter 14 of Getting to I Do. So go ahead. What else do you want or not want?
I'm just fine with a phone call once a week or a text as much as he wants, but I want a phone call once a week.
You want to hear his voice because that's more human than the computer.
Right.
That's normal.
Yes.
Women love talking. Men love texting.
Mm-hmm.
So tell him I'm not going to answer any of your texts. I'm going to only answer one of your texts and any of your talking weekly.
Okay, so I enjoyed
Remember,
what we had, but I don't.
You got to negotiate time, space, money, and play, non-sexual and sexual. Those things are what make up a friendship.
Okay. So does this, can I word this to you as I heard you say it?
Okay.
So I enjoyed what we had, like if he texts me again, I enjoyed what we had, but I don't want to answer any more of your texts unless you will call me and speak with me on the phone once a week. Does that
what
sound
do you
too
think
aggressive?
About that, sir?
Okay.
You must
and
demonstrate respect.
All right. Okay, I like
men
that.
Men need respect, and women need to be cherished naturally. Some men like okay. cherishing more, and some women like respect more. But most of us, during certain ages, want to be cherished, and during certain ages, want to be respected.
It seems like I'm meeting lots of guys that want to be cherished.
I got news for you. In what age bracket are they?
Over 50 so far, although I did meet a guy who seems to be like at least 10 years younger than me, and I'm surprised that he's done everything amazingly.
Do you understand well, that he's peri-andropause?
The
we're
guy's
peri-
over
50. Menopause. What?
The guy's over 50 or peri-andropause?
Yes, because their testosterone goes down and the impact releases a lot of estrogen.
Yeah, he says he wants to be nurtured and he doesn't find that I'm nurturing if I don't call him or text
How
him.
How old are you?
I'm 47.
So you're perimenopause. Have you gone through menopause?
No.
Okay, so you're still, you're peri, that's before, perimenopause, which means you still want to be cherished. But he's older, and he wants to be cherished. So I advise you, when you're with a man in that age bracket, and he talks about being uncomfortable, please feel free to say, what can I do to help you and I feel better? But normally,
okay.
you would say, what can I do to help us do better for a younger person? Or a man who's acting like a man when he's an older person.
Okay.
In other
I
words,
haven't used that.
If that's, as you get older, you have to modify the communication so that he gets twice as much respect strokes, but he gets 1 to 2 bases cherishing. You stroke him for his feelings. You stroke him for what he's done. Young men, they live on respectability. Older men, it's 2 to 1, respect, cherish. And for we
okay.
women, when we're young, we want to be cherished. But when we get to be in our 40s and 50s, we want to be respected, but I suggest you make appointments when you want to teach, preach, bitch, and moan, and question.
Yes, I'm learning that as well as I can from you.
Good, excellent, excellent.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
Thank you. Call again.
I will. Bye.
Thank you, Carla.
All right.
All right. As I was saying, our video is free on www.drpatallen.com. That's drpatallen.com. It's up there now for your enjoyment. And we have some more calls coming in.
All right.
Hello.
As I was saying, our video is
free. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do have a question. This is Karen from last week. And Pat, I was going through some of my old books, and the one thing I can't remember, what are the four lessons? I remember two, for a woman And what book did it come from? And also, where did the One Lesson for Men?
I don't know what you're talking about. I need more signaling. I'm listening threes of those and fours of these all the time. Of what lessons about what?
No, there was a book, Knowing Women, and He and She. And years ago, you used to teach there were four lessons a woman had to learn. One was to say no to loved ones. Do you remember that?
No, I don't right now.
Okay. Okay. Well, I was wondering if it came from Knowing Woman, the book by...
I don't know. You know, one of the things I notice is as I learn things, I absorb it into my system and it shows up regularly in my lectures. But
okay.
I remember things when people, what you're saying to me, I may easily have done, but I didn't do it often enough to glue it
to keep it.
Brain.
Okay. Maybe I can find it somewhere in my notes. You know,
I'd
the
love
book.
It. I'm,
okay.
I'm
you know, the woman, you know, the, you know, Knowing Women though, cause you recommended
yes,
it to me.
I know. Yes.
And then, yeah. And then there was He and She, and I was trying to find those where I put them.
That's by Robert Johnson.
Okay. All right.
He,
well,
she, and he wrote We.
And
he
We, yes.
Wrote he also wrote something about ecstasy or pleasure. See, I remember some things totally, and then I don't remember some things.
Okay. Well, there were
remember,
four.
Remember this. Age only helps wine and cheese.
Tell me. I'm learning that.
Yeah, right.
Okay, anyway,
so what
well,
can you talk about? Now I'm curious
now
about
I,
those things you're talking about.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you, I know the one lesson the man has to learn. I can, I mean, I learned
what is
this
that?
From
tell
you.
Tell me that. That may trigger me.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It was to stop seeing women as a source of taking care of them. And it was when
yes,
they could go over the hill and all they, their joy, the only joy once men would go over the hill to seeing women as them taking care of them. And that was their goal. That would make them happy. And when you see a man that wants to give and take care of his family, he has gone to the other side versus seeing them as a mother taking care of them.
Okay.
That was the only lesson a man had to learn back in the 80s that you were talking about.
That and sounds...
That's
sounds
you.
Good, but I
yeah.
I don't remember it. But
okay.
Now, if you find where it is, you think it's in Knowing Woman or what?
That's Wounded what I'm Woman? Thinking. It's either Knowing Women or He and She. Or yeah,
okay.
He and
well,
She. So I'm going to go back and find
books.
Them and read it, and maybe then I'll get back. And I know that
that's what you can do.
Okay, and I know there the two lessons for a woman that I and there's two more. Was one was to learn how to take a piece of the world, not the whole thing, according to your abilities, and then to how to say no to loved ones. Was real important
oh,
for
yeah.
a woman.
No, I've got, as long as you brought this up, I'm going to give you the five laws of communication.
Okay.
God willing, I remember them until I'm 100. If you're a woman and you want to be cherished, do not ask a man what he feels unless he's puking or bleeding. That's
right.
Tool one.
Okay,
two
I got that.
Two.
I know that one.
If you're, yeah, that's right, because it's been built for the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
The second tool is when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, you've got to make an appointment for the subject. I want to talk to you about this subject, and are you willing to listen? Yes. And when would it be convenient? So subject and convenience is the second tool for teaching, preaching, bitching, moaning, and questioning. The
got it.
The third tool is he's irritating you, but it's not immoral. It's not, you don't have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer. but he's irritating you. Make him right for what he's doing wrong. You have every right to do that, say that, think that, feel that. You have every right to be you, but I'm uncomfortable with what you said there, and I'm uncomfortable with what you did over here. So when would it be convenient for you to hear how I would feel better if you did it differently? Got that?
Got it.
That's the third tool. Irritation is acceptable, but you teach it and you ask him. The fourth tool is 90% of all communication is nonverbal. It is body language, tones of voice, gestures, postures, facial expression, rolling eyes. Those cannot be negotiated because they can't. They're body actions. So you say to yourself or him, I sense by the look on your face, by the silence of your voice, that you're upset about something, honey. Am I right? No. Don't give me that Pat Allen stuff. Okay. But since you're upset about me bringing it up, what can I do to help you and I do better? Or, if he said feelings, what can I do to help you and I feel better?
Right.
You see that? That's the fourth tool. And the fifth tool, if you've ever been to a basketball, football game, the referee does timeout. The hands timeout. If you want to signal your man you're upset and you don't want to say something because you're afraid you'll say it wrong, do a timeout signal. And he says, what are you doing? I'm signaling you that I'm uncomfortable with something you're saying or something you're doing. Are you interested in helping me feel better? Got it?
Got it.
Now, those are five things that, God willing, 5-10 years from now, I'll still remember. But I want to know what I did way back when with you.
Yeah, well, that was back in the 80s. And
I know that, dear.
I know.
So please.
I know. Okay, I'm going to, I'll probably maybe find it in some of the writings or tapes.
Good. You know what? God, those little white tapes.
I know.
Anyway, thank you for calling from ancient history.
Okay, you're welcome, Pat. I'll call you back if I figure it out.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, caller. Yeah, so with Switchboard's asking one more, and I'm going to say yes. Let's go for it.
Okay, let's try one.
Yeah, who's going to get us a call? Okay, let's see. Calling our caller right now. Get him hooked up into our system. Lots of calls tonight, Dr. Allen.
Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello. Hi, caller, you're live. Dr. Allen, do you have a question?
Oh, yes. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for being here. I'm just wondering.
You too.
Thank you. I have a question about the hi-bye letter. I sent the hi-bye letter, and in the letter, I wrote what I want.
Yes.
Like, you said to be specific about, you know, things like money, time.
Did he read the letter? Did he write a response?
He read the letter, and he called me right back because you said to call him and let him know a letter's coming, and then I delivered it.
Yes, very good.
His house, and he read it, and then he called me right back the next day, and he didn't talk about the letter. He just said that he wasn't feeling it. He just wasn't interested. And
all right, I really appreciate him calling you, even if it was to say no. That was such a good thing in a bad situation to do.
Yeah, I just worry that the letter was too, like, came off as too demanding or something.
Darling, you know? Whatever it did, he didn't like, and that's not your business. That's his business. You wrote the letter, and if it was right for him, he'd have responded and taken it. So please understand, it's better to know the bad truth than to wander around doing nothing.
Okay.
You reached out. That's courageous.
Yeah, I reached out because I had broken up with him because he was saying that he doesn't like, the way I think about things, which I didn't.
Darling, if he doesn't like the way you think about things, he doesn't like you, body and all.
Yeah, it was a bit weird because he was calling me 3 times a day and everything. So I was like,
I understand that, but he may have liked your body, but he didn't like your brain.
Yeah. Okay. So
I've got news for you. Mm-hmm. Bodies we've got, brains. Well, you can't change your brain that much. I'm going to be a scientific nerd till I die.
So, yeah, that's why I didn't understand why he, was calling me 3 times a day. And then when
he liked your body, but not your brain.
Okay. So he just wasn't into it.
Chemically. Yeah. He wasn't chemically in love with you.
Oh,
that's the way it is. The only word you need then is next.
All right, so don't wait for him. Or
move right along.
He's just done. Okay.
All right.
And I just have another quick question.
I don't know if we have time.
Oh,
Kelly,
okay.
No, we're out of time, but we totally invite you to call back next week, Colin. Okay. We're out of time.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Take care, Dr. Alan and Kelly. Bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Amen. All right, everyone, be safe. We'll be back here next week. Until then, we love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.